Welcome to the Uplift Fund podcast, where we provide pre-development funding for transit-oriented sites in Vancouver and Toronto. I'm Tegan Smith, your host. I'm excited to explore stories of funding for the entitlement phase of projects and how it enables groups, including REITs, pension funds, private developers, and insurance companies to build more housing in our country. On this podcast, we're diving deep into the pressing issue of housing in Canada. Consider this, 5.8 million homes are needed in Canada by 2030, just to keep pace with immigration demand and population growth. That's about double the number of units that have ever been built in Canada in a single year. To put it into perspective, imagine the entire population of British Columbia crammed into the Greater Toronto area. Even though some folks may choose to move to rural or small communities, most folks are going to continue to live in urban centers where economic activity thrives. And therein lies the challenge. There's a critical need for a massive city building initiative to ensure Canada remains globally competitive. And after all, we're in a constant battle for talent globally in the labor market. With the stakes this high, addressing the housing problem isn't just an option, it's a necessity. So please join us as we unpack the complexity, share stories of funding the entitlement phase and getting projects off the ground, building more housing in our country, and taking innovative solutions to quest and tackle Canada's housing crisis.
I'm proud to share a little bit with you about the Uplift Fund, which is a new initiative that I've launched in 2024. So to start a little bit about me, I'm honored that my work has received industry recognition. Over the past 25 years, I've been working as an urban planner, and my background in land development has certainly equipped me to tackle complex challenges. The development feasibility framework has been used in our work with countless REITs and developers, government organizations, and nonprofit groups, receiving feedback from investment committees, capital committees, and boards. And the framework has become that strong foundation of our development feasibility studies, our development consulting, and our advisory program, the Approval Accelerator. But it's also the framework that is the foundation of the new initiative in 2024, which is the Uplift Fund. And the Uplift Fund is bringing private capital to unlock transit-oriented sites in Canada. I'm going to share more about that in a few minutes. So the housing problem, it's enormous. According to CMHC, 5.8 million new homes are needed in Canada by 2023 to keep pace with immigration demand and population growth. To do this amounts to about double of the number of units needing to be delivered in a single year compared to the highest year that we've ever delivered in Canada. So for context, we have about 5 million people living in British Columbia, about 3 million in the Lower Mainland, and there are about 5.9 million people living in the Greater Toronto area. Even though some of our new immigrants to Canada and some of our existing residents in Canada are going to choose to move to rural and small communities, we know that most will go to urban centers because that's where the economic activity is. So there's a huge need for city building and a city building initiative that will allow Canada to remain competitive globally for labor and for quality talent. And so if we want that kind of Canada, then I believe we have no choice but to address the housing problem. So the federal and provincial governments are looking to municipalities to be part of the solution. And the province of BC recently introduced about 20 new pieces of legislation. At the same time, the Federation of Canadian Municipalities has done a report, and they have estimated that the cost of delivering infrastructure to deliver new housing units in Canada is about $107,000 per unit. So now on a lighter topic, some fun. I really believe that a global perspective is key for Canada to address the housing problem. And so really my own travel experiences have informed my experience as an urban planner. In June, I'm going to be going to Oslo, Stockholm, Copenhagen. When I get back, I'll share those reflections through my blog, over email. But for me, the important themes that I've had from my travels to Melbourne and Barcelona and Tokyo and London are around public art, well-done heritage interface, density, diversity of design, mixed uses, pedestrian orientation, public space quality, small space living like in Tokyo, and also multimodal access. And that's me on a line bike in London at this time last year. Whether you're based in Toronto or Vancouver, it's important to be aware that BC's legislature passed about 20 pieces of new legislation last fall. And actually, the National Housing Task Force just issued a report last week with 140 recommendations, and many of those recommendations reflect the kind of initiatives that are in the new legislation in British Columbia. For those of you that want to do a deep dive into the housing statutes, it's a very important topic, but there's a lot to cover. You can use this QR code to access a past webinar that I did specifically on this topic. ULI Toronto also hosted a webinar last Friday, and there's a recording available on their website where we also covered what Ontario can learn from the new housing statutes in British Columbia. So I'm going to cover this for today at a very high level and in a nutshell. In a nutshell, Bill 44, these are known as the three housing statutes. While there are a lot of other pieces of legislation, for example, around short-term rentals, the key to be aware of is that these are known as the three housing statutes that you'll read about in the newspaper regularly. And so Bill 44 really focuses on long-term planning and the small unit housing initiative. And so this is really focused on allowing 4 to 6 units on single family lots that meet a minimum property dimension and putting that zoning in place. Bill 44 is also about long-term planning, and it provides policy directions around approvals for residential developments that are consistent with the official community plan. Bill 46 is based on development financing. So that's to help get more certainty with your development project about what are the costs associated with infrastructure. And Bill 47 is about the transit-oriented areas. The province has produced a transit-oriented area guideline, and I recommend reading through that on the provincial website. Just because you're identified in a transit-oriented area doesn't mean you have zoning. You'll still have to go through a rezoning in order to make sure that the infrastructure is in place. One more comment on the legislation is that it's going to get messy. It's going to be very messy over the next couple of years as municipalities try to make sense of the legislation. As the legislation gets tidied up, there's a lot of things that are being discovered as it's being implemented. But my view, and in the webinar on Friday with ULI Toronto, the view of the development community and of a municipal CAO is that over the long term, it's a good thing for housing supply in British Columbia. So now I'm going to talk about really what I've learned in 25-year career is that partnerships are essential to enable housing units to come online easily. Partnerships are essential. So this is really the framework that I use for my development feasibility. We start by discovering the issues and opportunities that are associated with the site. We then strategize on how to overcome those issues and engage with stakeholders on the basis of what we've learned from strategizing and engaging. Then we unearth solutions and we develop a plan to deliver. So you'll notice that the lion's share of the thinking happens during the discover, strategize, and engage part. And from there, we find the solutions, plan, and deliver. Given the current cost of building projects in Vancouver and Toronto and many Canadian cities, we find that groups like REITs, pension funds, insurance companies are nearly the only ones that have pockets deep enough to build housing at scale. For many, but not all of these groups, their investment criteria is that a project must be shovel ready. So an essential step in unlocking housing supply is to generate shovel ready projects. And that's what the Uplift Fund is all about. So over the past 6 to 9 months, I've been working on developing a solution that will enable housing units to come online more easily in order to address the scale of housing that is needed in Canada. And this is really about using my Channel Consulting development feasibility framework for due diligence. So I've got a list of investors and I'm actively evaluating opportunities against our investment criteria. And once we have the right opportunity, we're ready to go. So these are our investment objectives. As I mentioned, to invest in the entitlement phase of development, to unlock multifamily development projects that will result on the scale of 100 to 400 units, distributing capital to investors once there's conditional zoning in place, and generating investment returns that reflect the risk that's taken by these investors in going through the entitlement process. So the investment criteria really focused on those locations where government has committed to rapid transit infrastructure, where there's a sophisticated, proven development partner in place, where the parcel size is adequate for that scale of development, and where there's an asset that is well positioned for acquisition, to generate an asset that's well positioned for acquisition. And so this is the investment process that we go through. Again, you'll see here how critical partnerships are to coming up with totally new ideas that help us unlock housing supply and address unaffordability. So it's really important that we're introduced to projects and we're introduced to investors. And so if you do have a project or an investor or are interested in finding out more, you can go to upliftfund.ca. So here are the key lessons and takeaways that I wanted to offer with you today. We need to build the equivalent of a new city in Canada by 2023 to keep pace with immigration and population growth. And new ways of thinking are essential to solve a crisis. We need to be learning from world cities. And I'm using my development feasibility framework to help address the problem through partnerships and facilitating those partnerships through Uplift Fund. As we draw this episode to a close, it's clear that the challenges facing Canada's housing market are immense. Yet, amidst these challenges, there are opportunities for positive change and innovation. Thank you for tuning into the Uplift Fund podcast.